Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Homeschool Sisterhood. It's so exciting to be here. You guys, I have Lara with me today, and she's a huge blessing in the homeschool community. I love everything about what she does because she loves Charlotte Mason education, the gentle art of learning. Oh, she's just amazing. She has incredible resources. And she gave us a free gift for today. I couldn't print mine, but I'm going to share my screen and show it to you guys because it is pretty. So pretty. Let me see if I can share here for a second. Where is it? Yeah. Look how pretty this is. It's a Christmas planner. And it has this every main event that is happening this month, you can put there, stick that to your fridge, guys, so you know what's happening each day, right? There's a weekly plan. Look how organized this is. Even calls and appointments, goals. It's so pretty. Christmas party. If you're organizing a Christmas party, you got it. Just print it out and use it. I love that you got the tasks assigned to because you got to delegate. If you want to be sane, you have to delegate things. You can't just do it everything. Guest list, I love this. Gift list, there we go. Budget, love that you put the budget there. I was just writing a blog post about it, about Black Friday deals. Always saying, guys, have a budget. Christmas gifts, have a budget. Christmas cooking schedule. I love that. You're not the only one cooking, are you, Lara? It's so good. You're taking turns, you know? People need to get their spots and get going. There's Christmas meal plan. So cute. Meal recipes. And she got beautiful poems. There's hymns. You know, Christina Rosette is our favorite. My kids love her poems.
Isn't she amazing? And then, you know, her brother was a really remarkable illustrator.
Really?
Mm-hmm, Dante Rossetti.
I need to read her biography or something. I know nothing about her life, but we love her poems. So look at this. You got some hymns. You got recipes. This is super cute. The Grinch marshmallow box. My kids will love making this. So she has a list of supplies and everything that you need step by step. Look at that. That's like a Christmas tree that you make with what? Let me see. Different things.
It's paper.
Oh, it's paper. It's
paper quilling.
Oh, that's so cute. I should do this so people can see it. There we go, guys. That is super cute. I love this. There's some handcrafts there too. Poetry tea time. My kids love poetry tea times. Snowy trees. Look at this. Love it. Beautiful. And there's a poetry study. That is awesome. Thank you so much. That is so pretty, you guys. And you have to try her morning time. The homeschool garden. I love it. So we're going to talk a little bit about it, right?
Yes, a little bit.
All right, so I'm going to let Lara talk, and I'm going to remove myself, let her take over, because she has so much to share with us. Emily's saying we're using the homeschool garden.
Hi there. I'm so excited to hear that.
That's awesome. All right, Lara, take over. Share all the word has put in your heart to share with us. We're excited to learn from you today.
Awesome. All right, so I am the creator of the Homeschool Garden, and I blog at Everyday Grace's Homeschool, and this is all how I actually ended up meeting Anna, who is amazing, and you guys are so blessed to have her here, like, leading you through this whole motherhood thing. So what we do is we create simple and beautiful resources to help simplify life for homeschool moms so they can bring the joy and delight back into their homeschool. And the reason that we are so passionate about Charlotte Mason is the very foundation of her philosophy is recognizing Imago Dei. There is the imprint of God and the image of God in each one of our children. And her whole philosophy is based around recognizing that and building that up in them. And so that's why we love the Charlotte Mason method so very much. So we are going to talk today about doing kind of Charlotte Mason studies during the holidays without losing your mind, because there's so many other things that kind of get piled on top of you during the holiday season. There are a few options that you can do. Some people just do regular homeschool all the way through. Some years we do that. Most of the time we don't. We do what I call like holiday school. So we do our Advent studies, and then we do math, because I have one child especially who has dyslexia and he forgets what he's learned. And it's just really ugly in January if we don't keep up with math. But what we do, let's see, I've got so much stuff pulled out here for you guys. With our Advent study, and what I would recommend to you if you're going to do Advent homeschool is we use a gentle Advent because we created it and it's kind of what we do, but it's really just a morning time Charlotte Mason holiday schooling course. Course is really not the best word for it. But this is what we do. We have our scripture journal, and I didn't put this in your packet, but I'll send like a screenshot to Anna. We use the GROW study method, and this is what I came up with for my kids. And GROW just means get ready. You get your space ready and your head ready and your heart ready. You read your scripture passage. If the child has any questions or there's older words they don't understand, they ask their parents to help. You open your heart and your mind to the lessons, convictions, comfort, and love that we receive during our quiet study time with the Lord. And then we write it out. So you write out your scripture passage, you write out your thoughts and prayers for people. And you know, it's actually scientifically proven. The more that we write something out, the more ingrained it becomes in our head. So, it really does help to write out the scriptures if we're going to store them up in our hearts, which is really awesome. So we do make sure that we have, you know, our daily scripture studies through Advent. Now our family does the Advent wreath. Not everybody does, but we do have readings for that as well. And every week, you know, is a different scripture focus. So we also do a lot of hymn studies. This one is in the packet that I gave for you guys. Your hymns, your older hymns, more so than modern praise music, really contain a lot of beautiful, super awesome theology. And I think it's really important to kind of give that to our children. And I know Anna has had some, I saw a video because I wasn't able to go to 2-to-1, but her family singing one of the Hebrew prayers, that just gives me chills. But, you know, having the songs that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation through our faith, it's just, it's a beautiful way to connect to that. And there's so much good theology in a lot of the older things that are not really, I think a lot of praise music is fun to listen to and it'll get you moving, but it's not got the deep theology that a lot of the older hymns do. Like Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, a little snippet of history, if you decide to include that in your hymn studies, it was actually composed by Charles Wesley in 1744. And it was published in the Wesley Hymnal, and it was reprinted 20 different times while he was still alive. So this one's been around for a long time. It was actually used in colonial America. But it's just a beautiful hymn that really brings out the joy of the season. And it's fun to sing. It's not, they didn't do so much crazy stuff with the melodies then either. So it's made for everybody to be able to sing it. Hymn studies are really a great thing to do during Advent. If you haven't done any, I would highly recommend it. You can really dig into the one that I gave you. There's a whole bunch of others. Midwinter, In the Bleak Midwinter is another one. Christina Rossetti wrote it. And then, I'm drawing a blank. I should know this. Gustav Holst, maybe, is the one who wrote the melody for it. But it's another beautiful hymn and poem, and it just really sort of pulls in the true meaning of what we're celebrating during this Advent season. And so I've got your packet for you, has some fun poems and stuff in it. I have a fun little book of Christmas poetry that I really enjoy. I don't know why it's called Scented, but it's Finhaligan's Scented Treasury of Verse and Prose. The pages don't smell. But G.K. Chesterton has a beautiful poem. And one of the things that I think we forget is how much children love poetry. I mean, if you can't get your kids to calm down, if you'll sit down on the couch and just start really softly reading poetry, it's like the cadence just brings them over, and then all of a sudden they're quiet because they want to hear you and you're not shouting. So it's a great way to kind of, I guess, combat the sugar high that all the kids get during this time of year. But Christmas Carol by G.K. Chesterton is one that you should write down. Definitely look it up. It's beautiful. It's short, which is always a plus. A lot of his writing is not. But the Christ child lay on Mary's lap. His hair was like a light. Oh, weary, weary were the world, but here is all right. The Christ child lay on Mary's breast. His hair was like a star. Oh, stern and cunning are the kings, but here the true hearts are. The Christ child lay on Mary's heart. His hair was like a fire. Oh, weary, weary is the world, but here the world's desire. The Christ child stood at Mary's knee. His hair was like a crown, and all the flowers looked up at him, and all the stars looked down. Isn't that awesome? It's just so fun to incorporate poetry. So if you're doing holiday homeschool, whether you're using our programs or not, I definitely recommend looking up a couple poems. Your kids are going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. It really helps. Poetry is very calming for most people, and it kind of helps just recenter your thoughts. I mean, the Bible's full of poetry. So in addition to your scripture studies, obviously, but you can also include nature study. Nature study is a great thing to have in Advent, right? I mean, we're worshiping the creator of all things. And so it's good to be out in creation as much as we can. Some of us live where it's too cold. We actually live in Georgia. It's not that cold here. It's cold enough sometimes though. But one of the things that we like this time of year, especially if you're somewhere where there is studying snowflakes. Snowflakes make a great winter study. Evergreens are a great winter study because, you know, these leaves are green all year. But there's so many different kinds. There's, you know, the pine trees and cedars and your holly bushes. And you can just kind of make a game out of what's green, what has red berries, what has pine cones. And what are the pine cones called? The type of seed. But there's lots of different things that have the conifer type seeds, and you can look for those. You can really incorporate all kinds of fun nature study into your holiday homeschool, and you can do things with it. You can make wreaths, you can make garlands, you can decorate your house. We actually have some activities where we like paintbrush with whatever we find. So if you're doing your evergreen study, you can even try different kinds of evergreens and see what kind of imprints they're stand or what kind of imprints the leaves make and things like that. Your nature study can be all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things during the Advent season. We did include the quilling handicraft in there. It's a Christmas tree. If you are not into Christmas trees, you can leave the ornaments and the star off. And it actually is still really fun to like make it and then have like little animals and draw your little woodland creatures and things around it. But paper quilling is something that pretty much everybody can do together. Even your littlest ones can use the quilling tool, and they're not very expensive. I think they're maybe $6 or $7. You can buy big packs of quilling strips on Amazon, things like that. Some other handicrafts, like we do art. Art is a great thing to add during your Advent, whether you're watercoloring what you find in nature, or if you're using your nature stuff to paint with, or if you're doing full-on art projects. This one actually is from our Homespun Hallelujah, which is our Advent course for moms. And that one's really fun. There's not a ton of stuff in it because, you know, you're doing a lot already because you're the mom and you're busy, but it is important for you to take time to do some studying for yourself. Don't just spend all your time planning things for the kids and looking at books for the kids. Spend some time doing things for yourself during the Advent season. You want to study, the word on your own. You want to read your own grown-up poetry. This is a good reason to have some Christina Rossetti books laying around. You really want to spend that time focusing your heart, because if you don't, once we hit January, you're going to be even more burned out than you feel right now. and almost every homeschool mom's feeling just like bleh this time of year. We're all tired. We've been going and going and going. And it's just really important to hit that refresh and reset button. And we do that by focusing on our savior. We can't do that by going to the spa. We can't do that by eating bonbons. We can't do that by hiding in our bedroom with a cup of tea and some chocolates and a good book. Not that I haven't done that. But that's not really how we reset and refuel. So we really need to make sure that during this whole season of expectation that we are focused on our Savior and the amazing things that he's done for us, which is another good reason to do holiday homeschool and not do your full homeschool schedule, because you need that time too. And we're homeschoolers. We're not ever behind. If you feel like you're behind, I would ask you behind whom. Don't compare. Your kids are unique. You're unique. Your family is unique. We were all made uniquely. And so we really have to not fall into that trap. And it can be so hard this time of year too, especially when it comes to like Christmas decor. I always remember the scene in The Grinch where, you know, Martha Lou Who has her great big gun of Christmas lights that go everywhere. And there's, oh goodness, I thought I had that turned off. I'm sorry. But, you know, there's this big competition on the lights. Well, you lose so much joy that way. I mean, here there are the poor kids sitting in the dark by candlelight wondering what happened to mom. Where's she? She's out on the roof putting the chandelier up again. You know, don't fall into the comparison trap with your homeschool or with your Christmas decor or who's going to bake the best cookies. Take this season to rest and to refocus so that when January comes, you're ready to pour back into your children because you too have been refilled. I'm sorry, that was a little tangent there. The other things that you can include for holiday homeschool and morning time, I want to make sure I don't go like too far over here in case anybody has questions. We do geography studies, and there's a plethora of ways you can do this, but Christmas around the world is a really neat way to incorporate geography studies in your morning time, especially in the holidays. So for your geography, we use books like this one, Uncle Bova's Tree. This one makes me cry every time I read it, so I'm not going to do that to you here. But it goes through traditions of Russia Christmas time. And so we do a lot of just different books like that. There's books on when you're looking for things for like South America, you're going to come across more books for Three Kings Day and Epiphany. If you're going to Sweden, you're going to find stories about Saint Lucia. Most people call her Saint Lucy. It's easier to say. If you're looking at Turkey, you're going to find stories about St. Nicholas, the actual, you know, missionary guy, not the one that has the big red suit and comes down the chimney. But there are amazing Christmas stories and Christmas traditions from all over the world, and that allows you to learn about the culture and the people and the area in general. There's some neat traditions in Greece, and then, of course, you learn about Hanukkah with your study of Israel, and I bet Anna has some amazing things for that. But you have all these opportunities to raid your local library and to get all these great stories from all over the world, and you'll be able to study geography through the Advent season with every bit of it pointing back to why we're celebrating in the first place instead of, can I have that new Nerf gun? That's not to say that won't happen, but it's really a fun way to incorporate your geography studies and still feel like you're learning, but you're not sitting at the school table through the whole season, just pounding on your kids, let's go, let's go, let's get it done, let's get it done. And children seem to really just enjoy studying geography more this way. And one of the best things about Advent geography studies is you can make food from all these different places. And it's really fun. It's really tasty. It's also a good way to put on a little bit of weight because European countries, they use a lot of sugar. Not that we don't, but they use a lot of sugar. But we've done Bûche de Noël from France, which is, you know, like the rolled up cake log. And we've done cookies from England and I can't even think right now how many, we've done so many recipes from all over, but it's really a fun way to also spend time connecting with your kids, because reading together is beautiful and wonderful, and it allows one kind of connection, but making a mess out of your kitchen together is a whole different level of commitment. Your kids are going to have memories and memories and memories that are just going to be so amazing when you get in the kitchen together with them. It's just, it's a whole different level of love that comes through your kitchen. And I'm from the South. And so, you know, we always joke that, like, that's how we tell people we love them, is we cook for them. I'm pretty sure the way to a man's heart is through his stomach reference came from the South. I can't prove that, but I think it's true. But you get in there with your kids and they're learning math. They're practicing their math skills. So, you know, it's learning too, but you know, you get all these wonderful recipes and this wonderful geography study. You can even, this time of the month, I guess we do, Cranberry Thanksgiving. I was about to say Cranberry Christmas. I'm like, no, that's next month. Cranberry Thanksgiving. The cranberry bread recipe on the back of that little book is awesome. It's so good. And it's really simple, and we're actually a gluten-free family, and it works just as well with gluten-free flour if that's a concern of your families. But my kids ask for that every year now. They're like, Mom, we are going to make our cranberry bread, right? Yes, we are definitely going to make our cranberry bread. And they're 9 and 7. I mean, you feel like they're getting towards the upper end of those books. But when you start bringing food and books together, it's sort of it's a magical combination. Your kids are really going to enjoy it. It's one of the things that's great about tea time. And that's why we put a poetry tea time in your packet that we gave you. The Snowy Trees cookies are so yummy and they're so pretty. You almost don't want to eat them, almost. But when you start combining things, it makes the connections so much better. And so we really enjoy the tea time and the cooking, and, you know, it's learning without learning, or learning without teaching, is really kind of how it comes across. And that's one of the beautiful things about making the recipes and then doing the stories together, and kind of the way they culminate. And the kids make the connections, you don't have to, but then when you're out somewhere and you see, you know, the little meatballs, they're gonna be like, oh, that is actually a Swedish tradition because we read about that in that story. Like, yeah, we did. And so it's just all this natural learning that happens while you're making these memories and you're building into your children. And so we do a lot of geography study that way here. But I do recommend that method for your Advent studies. And you're also getting your literature studies in. So you get everything kind of compacted without having to actually sit down and plan out a whole lot. I mean, just pick 5 books, really, like 5 places that maybe you want to learn from. And now with our Advent studies, we do have those already in there. We only have 1 geography study in Colonial Christmas. I felt a little, sad about that, but there were only 25 days that I could pack things into. But the, most of our other 2 courses have, I think, at least 2 or 3. But you really want to take, you know, where you want to learn about. Do you want to learn about London? Do you want to learn about Brazil? Do you want to learn about Israel? Do you want to learn about Ethiopia? What do you like, which countries sort of feed into either what you've studied or what you will be studying? And then pick 5 books, just 5. If you're looking for recommendations, there is a Facebook group and a website called Reshelving Alexandria. That's awesome for living book recommendations if you're looking for specific country stories, and they can even tell you the age ranges that they go for. But just pick 5. Keep it small. Don't overwhelm yourself. Let's not do like a country a day, because you're also going to get tired of being in the kitchen because you're doing all your holiday cooking on top of this. So don't overwhelm yourself. Keep it doable. But I would say 5 stories is more than enough. And like Uncle Vova's tree, you would make like a Russian porridge, and it's really good. We like all the porridge things like that. It's like comfort food, and you can do it for breakfast or dessert or however you want to fit it in. But that's just a great way to do your geography study, keep your learning going and not go nuts. We also do, art study. Oops, excuse me. I dropped my book. I'm in my office and I don't have a huge desk anymore. But we do, this is one of our favorites. The Glorious Impossible. Now, if you're not familiar, Madeline L'Engle is the one who wrote, I'm drawing a blank. I want to say A Wind in the Door, but that's not the main one. The Wrinkle in Time. There we go. But she actually has some beautiful, beautiful books on theology. This one actually goes through the frescoes of Giotto and the entire story of Christ's life. And I'm going to open it here so you can see. But we've got the Annunciation on this page. I'm going to make sure you guys can see that. There we go. So there's the fresco from Giotto, and then the story is over here. This book is super easy to find used if you are studying older artists like Giotto. This would be like medieval frescoes. But art study is another way to really sort of draw the beauty of the season. And we really enjoy Giotto this time of year just because there's something about the frescoes and all the gold gilding that just looks festive. Of course, then you get towards the end too, though, but even the crucifixion, I mean, it's just the pictures are remarkable. He was a very talented artist. And he gave all his glory to God, which is awesome too. But Giotto is a really good one this time of year. Rembrandt has some beautiful pieces that are great for this time of year. My brain is failing me today. But Rembrandt is another good one. And then I don't have it on here. I'm sorry. I thought I had another artist for you guys, but definitely Rembrandt and Giotto. But those are just the way you can incorporate art study. And so I would love questions if you have questions. I try to keep our Advent school. We do like our scripture journal stuff first thing in the morning. Otherwise, you know, with everything else that's going on, we don't get to it later in the day. And so we do like breakfast and scripture journal so that regardless of anything else that happens, we get that done. And if you make a plan for your Advent schooling, I'm gonna sit those down there. If you make a plan for your Advent schooling and you feel like you've gotten behind, I like to remind everybody, we have the 12 days of Christmas that Americans always seem to forget about. But your 12 days of Christmas is like Christmas to Epiphany. Epiphany is January the 6th. So that is your grace period. You have 12 extra days. If you don't get all your stories read or all your recipes made or all your poetry done, you have time at the end. Don't rush yourself. The 12 days of Christmas is a gift. And we do our scripture journal first. And then whatever other activities we have planned for that day would be done after that. If we end up having parties or anything like that, that kind of takes over the rest of the day. The scripture journal, which is, in my opinion, the most important part for Advent, that got done. And we can just move the Advent activities to the back end of Christmas or skip it altogether. It just depends on how that works for your family. So if you guys have any questions on morning time or holiday homeschool or Charlotte Mason or anything else, I would love to answer those. And I hope this has been helpful.
This has been fantastic. I love it. I took lots of notes. I mean, I'm just making a big list of things here that we can do. So I love, Lara, that you mentioned so many things, because sometimes our brain goes like, oh, what are we going to do for the holiday? What a rich season to actually incorporate more theology and more beauty into our homeschool. So we're pretty much like you. We started following the Advent after we moved back to North America. That was a completely new thing to us. But it makes sense for me. I know this is something that man made. It's not biblical or anything, but you know, think about the thousands of years brewing the expectation of the coming of Messiah. And I think the Advent gives us a little taste of it. It's the expectation building up for the coming of Messiah, where we can celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we know Jesus wasn't born on 25th of December. You know, this is just a day given to us by the government to celebrate Jesus. And I have a degree in theology and a degree in biblical and Jewish studies. And sometimes I get people just so finicky about those things. Like, we don't do Christmas like everybody else does. you know, we keep it very Jesus focused, very simple, because we don't want to be distracted with things. But then people were like, oh, you shouldn't be celebrating Christmas because you know all about Christmas. And if you don't know about it, you need to research about it. But I'm not going to talk about it now. But here's the thing. If the government gives us a day to celebrate Jesus, I'll take it. Right. And if there's a whole season where the gospel is being preached through songs, even at Walgreens, I'm going to take advantage of it. Because the reality is that Christmas season, people's hearts are soft, guys. We have to take advantage of this season, even for our family. We dive deep into scriptures during this time of the year as we're prepared, you know, to celebrate the coming, the birth of Messiah. It doesn't matter if he was born in December, if he was born in the spring, like we believe, or Passover, he is the perfect Lamb of God. The importance is that we are dedicating, setting time aside to worship him, to learn more, to dig into the word of God, and to share the gospel of salvation with other people, especially the ones in our own house, because that's more important, right? That's more important, that we are actually building up a strong faith foundation into our kids' heart. And Advent and home holiday schooling gives us a chance to focus so much more on those things. And at the same time, we're building these amazing memories together with our children. We're reading books. I just felt so sorry now. You're showing me your books and I'm thinking, I gave away my tub of Christmas books and, you know, holiday books. We had amazing books that we've been collecting through the years. But moving into an RV, we had to kind of, you know, get rid of some stuff. But think about the opportunity of hymn studies, reading great books, picture studies, poetry. My kids love reading poetry. They just love it. And there's something about doing it with a British accent that makes it even better. I'm not good at it, but my kids are really good in Scottish and English accents. And you're baking together. That's math. You're measuring things. You're mixing things. That's chemistry, you know, and you're having fun. And you're every day, the house smells so good when you're baking things. And my essential oils changing my diffuser. Now I got the cinnamon and, you know, like more like Christmas smells. And but what a great opportunity. What a great opportunity. Even for nature studies, you know. Go outside, study all the beautiful things that we see during winter time. I mean, not here in Florida, but anyways, here we're still seeing alligators and lizards. And, but, you know, there's always an opportunity to learn something new. I love that you mentioned Israel's geography during this time. And even learning about Hanukkah. I love teaching about Hanukkah. And I love teaching about Messianic prophecy. That's what I did for 12 years of my life. All I did for 12 years of my life was teaching churches about Israel and the Jewish culture. So I'll teach them everything from the biblical calendar to how to share the gospel with the Jews. And the Messianic prophets are a big part of it, right? So you can sit and read those Messianic prophecies with your kids and show them, listen, for thousands of years, God was preparing his people to receive salvation through Messiah, right? All of those years, and you read those beautiful prophecies and you see how Jesus is portrayed throughout the whole Old Testament. What a beautiful thing. Jesus did not just appear in the first chapter of the Gospels. You know, he was there since the beginning. The very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the word there in Hebrew is Elohim. And every word that ends with M in Hebrew, it's a plural. So how cool is that? The word for God in a singular in Hebrew is El, but Elohim is plural. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So you got to teach some Hebrew to your kids too during the holiday time. We actually have been working on a course together for learning Hebrew through the holidays for Hanukkah, but I don't know if I'll have time to do this. Anyways, there's so many great ideas. Poetry tea time, books, audiobooks, lots of great audiobooks. Sit with the kids or while you guys are baking, listen to a really cool audiobook. If you have any suggestions, Lara, for audiobooks for Christmas, I would love to hear.
Oh gosh, there's so many. A Christmas Carol, obviously.
Yes.
There's a really good one. I can't remember the narrator. There's a really good one on Audible. If you have the subscription, there's also an excellent version on LibriVox, which is
free. Yeah. We like free. Jinx.
The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry is actually geared more for older, like you wouldn't want your super young kids listening to it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just an older story. I don't know if there is an audio version of it or not, but if there is, One Wintry Night, it's actually by Ruth Bell Graham. And it's a beautiful story. Introducing a boy to the Christ child story.
Oh, I love that.
While he gets like snowed in at her house. It's just a beautiful book. I can't remember.
I know that there is a bunch for kids.
There's so many for kids. And most of our Christmas books, we don't do audiobooks. A Christmas Carol is the only one that I make an exception for because I like to listen to it while I'm crocheting. I will have to look. I'll send you a list because I know I've got lists for my Advent courses. I just don't have it in front of me.
No, that would be awesome. I mean, there's just so much. Tell us a little bit about how do you guys do scripture journaling? I would love to hear more about this.
So it's super simple. I've actually got this one next to me. But yeah, I showed you the grow method that we use.
Yes.
Like, so this is we've got the prayers and thoughts, the dates, and all that gets written here.
Yeah.
One has the scripture. This one is a list for things that they're grateful for. And this is the page where they actually do the copy work.
Oh, that's great.
Now, we don't include the scripture so people can pick their translation.
Okay.
But that one. And then I've got one down here. This is the cover for the Homespun Hallelujah Advent.
That's so beautiful.
I was so excited because Mary looks like a teenager in this one.
That's beautiful.
This picture. She doesn't look too old. But like this is the one I'll be using this year. But this one has the scriptures, but on the mom's journal, it's how can I encourage my children to walk in his paths and follow his ways is one of the questions, and then things I
yeah. Work. Yeah.
But literally we just write the word out.
And let the word speak to you.
Yes. Now.
And I'm a firm believer of that we should just, you know, read the word, meditate in the word, let the Holy Spirit speak to us, that we write what the Lord's speaking to us. And of course, sometimes we're going to dig deep into scriptures. We want to see the meaning of the words and the original language and the more in-depth study, but sometimes it's just being still in God's presence with his word. And I'm going to show you guys what I just got here because we're talking about the word. I just went to Hobby Lobby this week. And I got myself, this is a recipe box, okay? But we're making this a scripture memory box using this because it's so pretty. It's so pretty. So I am using 4 flashcards. I haven't done one yet, but my girls love to decorate things and they love Bible journaling stuff. And so I got these for my girls, and I got these box, $2.49 guys, from Hobby Lobby for my boys, so he can put his flashcards inside. And this month, we're going to be writing down scriptures. We're going to be writing down some messianic prophecies. And so they got to decorate also their flashcards with some washi tape or watercolors, whatever they want to do, you know. But the point is to teach them to read the word, write the word, meditate on the word, memorize the word, because we need to guard. We need to hide it in our hearts, right? And I love anything that it has to do with reading and writing the word, because I think it's important. I think, like you said, it's everything that we write, we're more likely to remember. And I think it's like 90% more likely to remember or something. I heard that from a sermon once. So use any opportunity you can to learn scriptures, meditate on scriptures, talk about salvation, the importance of really knowing Jesus as your personal savior. There's so much that, you know, the reminder that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? So we will not perish but have everlasting life. What a great opportunity this month that we have until Christmas time or after Christmas time, like you said, to just focus on the gospel, focus on the reason for the season instead of, you know, gifts and, you know, all the commercialized side of Christmas, right? Focus on Jesus. There's just so much for us to learn and for us to grow. I think it's a personal time of reflection. Like you were talking about the homeschool, hallelujah. It's a time of personal reflection for us as well. Lots of great things. You were talking about Israel geography, and I was going to comment on it. What a great time to actually learn about the geography in Israel. You know, here's Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. Where is Nazareth on the map? And talk about, go and dig more and learn more about it. And then now they're going to Bethlehem. Where is Bethlehem? And talk about those different places and learn a little bit of biblical geography as well. Love the idea of cooking. You guys, I don't know if you have favorites for Christmas time. I do. Lara, what are your favorite foods for Christmas time?
So actually, when we started doing more in-depth studies on Hanukkah last year, latkes and applesauce.
And sour cream. Yes, that is a must at our house. And sufganiyot. Sufganiyot is the Hebrew word for donuts. And I make my own, and I have a great recipe. I can send it to you. And we stuff it with strawberry jam, and it's so good. But latkes is a big hit in our house. We literally, like, latkes comes out of our eyeballs after 8 days. Yeah. And this year, Hanukkah is like the 22nd of December to the 30th. So we do like Hanukkah and Christmas all together. God help me.
Last year it was earlier. Last year, I think it started on like the 8th.
Yeah, last year it was early, and it was like, because normally we do a whole thing for Hanukkah and then like switch the mode to Christmas. But this year is all together.
So we do St. Nicholas Day. We don't do Santa Claus with my kids.
Yeah, we don't do Santa either.
But we do learn about St. Nicholas. And his day, St. Nicholas Day is, I think, the 6th of December. So we try to do on the 6th of December every year a family service project. And last year we rang a bell for Salvation Army.
Oh, cool.
And I have no doubt the people in Starbucks in the grocery store behind the door where we were so glad when our shift was done. Because my kids were out there like ringing the bell till I thought the little hammer inside was going to fly.
We've done this too. Oh, man. And we've done out in the cold in PI. So cold.
Yeah. And then we'll do like an angel tree. And it's usually the drop off is somewhere between like the 5th and the 10th. But
I've never heard of, you know what, it's funny you guys talk about Jesse tree. I have no idea what a Jesse tree is.
Oh my goodness. So angel
tree, I've heard of it, but I have no clue what it is.
Angel tree is where like the church or the Salvation Army or whatever your local charity for like people that are having financial issues. Our church and our Salvation Army here both do it, but they have a list of kids. And sometimes you get their name and what size clothes and things they wear, or not their name, I'm sorry, their age and what size clothes they wear. So you kind of have a general idea. You buy their Christmas presents because they're
okay,
or they're a member of like the foster care community, or like our home church does the Georgia Baptist Children's Home. So like, it's just a children's home. There are no like parents, but you get to give Christmas to these kids. And doing that really helped my kids kind of understand just how much they
have. The concept of giving and thinking about others and not yourself. I think that's so important at this time of the year. My kids don't know that other kids write Christmas lists, guys. They don't know. And my older is going to be 12. They have no idea that kids write down what they want for Christmas. Because you know, we never did that. We actually, we focus on serving others. And we just, you know, we exchanged gifts, which was actually kind of like a stretch for us because we were not used to do it. But because Hanukkah, you have to give a gift a day. So we're broke by the time Christmas comes, you people. Anyways, we don't do a present a day anymore. But on Christmas time, we exchange a gift. Always, we always say the same thing to remind ourselves of the greatest gift that was always, that was given to us by God. So they don't even got to choose what it is. But anyways.
So Jesse. Yeah.
And the Jesse tree. Tell me.
Jesse tree starts with creation. And each day focuses on a scripture that shows you the thread.
So it's like the messianic prophecy since the creation. Okay.
It includes all that, but it goes all the way through to the second coming. So like all 25 days, you take, you know, a couple verses every day and you go through it. And like our Jesse Tree Advent course has ornaments. So the kids have like a visual reminder of what was in the journal.
Okay.
But it's a really great way, especially for like, I'd say 10 and under. It's a great way to help kids understand that there is actually this connection all the way from Genesis 1-1 to...
Listen, a lot of adults need to know that connection because they don't.
But yeah, it's and it goes through all the different messianic prophecies and it really focuses, you know, on Jesse and David and the family and how all that relates to Jesus.
To the genealogy of Jesus. That's so cool.
So we like Jesse Tree a lot too. It's really fun. We'll actually probably use those ornaments again this year because we have them and it, I like to go through all that.
And you can create your own things too. I mean, it could be as simple or as elaborate as you want. Like you could use flashcards to just write the scriptures or print it nicely. And every day you add one and you focus on that scripture. Like, I love that.
You know, the book of Luke has 24 chapters. Meal times, like one chapter.
Read one chapter a day.
A day, and you've got the whole story. You know, that's one really easy thing that you can do. Now, because we're moms in here, Charlotte Mason wrote some amazing poetry. But it's read alongside the scripture that it goes with.
Good.
Savior of the world.
Yes, I have Savior of the world. Yeah.
That is beautiful to go through as a mom.
It is.
It's phenomenal. And you get to use it, you know, like in conjunction. She meant for it.
I didn't think about using it for Christmas time for this time of the year. That would be good.
I picked the actual sections that are more about that because it's a tome.
Is that on your Advent resources?
You know what? Is that one? I have the section of it because it's public domain, so you can find the whole thing on Gutenberg.
Yeah.
I have a section of it. I think it's in Homespun Hallelujah, but don't quote me on that.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your Advent. You have, I was really excited when I saw the Colonial one, the Colonial America, what was that? Colonial America one, right?
Yes, Colonial Christmas.
Colonial Christmas. Because we just came out of Williamsburg. You know, we were there for 18 days.
Isn't it fun?
I love that. If it wasn't for the situation that we were going through at the time, I think we would have enjoyed so much more. But we got to go to Jamestown and Yorktown and Charlottesville and just explore as much and learn as much as we could. And I love that you kind of incorporate like the old fashioned games. I mean, you can buy those things there everywhere, but you can make yours too. And that's so cool. So cool. I love everything about it. So tell us a little about your Advent resources and how people can get it. And
so you can just,
I'll share the link later on with them too.
Our website is everydaygraceshomeschool.com. And we have a gentle Advent, which is our original one. And I swear I was going to take this year off. And then I ended up feeling pulled to do Colonial
course. But people love the gentle Advent. Too.
Yes, they do. The original course is really more your traditional morning time. There's a few handicrafts, there's copy work, there's art study, there's hymn study, there's geography, there's history. It's very much like your traditional sit at your table, everybody together morning time. And then we have a gentle Advent Jesse tree, which goes through the Jesse tree in the scripture journal. It has all the ornaments there in the scripture journal as well. And it's got a lot more hands-on activities. So mm-hmm. if you have active children, which may or may not have been how the activities were developed now. I need them to pay attention and kind of focus in. That one has a lot more hands-on stuff, and it's really fun. We did colonial Christmas because we love history as a family. And people, I think, have become so used to the commercialized concept of Christmas that we're seeing things that misrepresent that period in history. So, we see pictures with like the big Christmas trees and people in colonial dress.
There was no Christmas tree back then. Started with Dickens.
Right. They would have greenery. They would have candles everywhere. I mean, you know, like house fires, but.
Yeah.
They got that when they put the candles on the Christmas trees too. But no, they talk about, you know, like all the Christmas balls and this, that. Well, they did have the balls, but it was Christmas balls because it was the Christmas season. It wasn't a Christmas ball.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
On, like, you know, the fat man in the red suit and the trees and.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, it was a very sacred season to them.
And this is
fasting
and simplified in a way too, right? I mean, less commercialized.
Yes. I mean, you know, they didn't have Norman Rockwell, who's also a fun artist to study this time of year though, because he's got a lot of Christmas stuff. But they didn't have the focus on the gimme, gimme, gimmies. They had meals where they would invite lots of people. They would give their servants a day off and a coin. And for that time, like for that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
And there are all these unique recipes that, were pulled from different homelands that are.
Let me tell you, I wanted to buy every recipe book I saw in the stores there because they had all this colonial recipe stuff, and some recipes were like kind of crazy. I've never heard of them. Like, yeah, they were like really weird for my taste. But anyways, that is so cool. That is so cool. I just find that it's sad how commercialized the season has become. And we forget that it's so simple. It's about a baby in a manger, that it was the greatest gift that the world has ever received. Without him, we wouldn't be saved. Without him, we wouldn't have eternal life. And for us in our house, we always kept so simple. Like, I don't even have decorations this year. Well, we're going to be at my mom's too, but, you know, it was always like lights and the smell and the things that we do together and the music that we play. It was more the ambiance. It was the atmosphere more than the visuals. You know, for the visuals, we will have just the lights and stuff. But it was more like the atmosphere, the memories.
Right.
It's always been like that for us. And I love this time of the year. Love it. I love it. And I say that very proudly as a Jewish, you know, person. I love this time of the year. I love celebrating my Savior. I am so thankful 20 years ago I got saved by grace, you know, met my Messiah, and I was the very first believer in my family, both sides of my family.
Wow.
So I endured a lot of persecution, a lot of opposition, but my children were all born knowing the Lord since the moment they were born, you know, like we always taught them in the ways of the Lord. And all right, guys, if anybody has any questions, I am loving this discussion so much. This is so, so good. If anybody has any questions for Lara, just you can write that on the chat, or you can put your video on or your audio on. We're just going to open for Q&A. We got like 7 minutes. 7 is the number of perfection, so go ahead and ask your perfect questions.
Bianca has said that she wasn't sure what Advent was and had to look it up, and she feels guilty kind of what they've done and feels like Advent's overwhelming. I do want to talk about that for 2 seconds.
Yes, I think that's very good.
I was raised Southern Baptist, and we didn't really do Advent.
No.
Periodically, the church would sit out a wreath on top of the organ, and the candles would get lit once a week, and I'm like, I don't even know what we're doing this for. I was
so it's like that. Why do we do what we do?
why are we doing this again? So I was actually, I was like 29 when I really kind of came across the concept of Advent as sort of a liturgy, like a ritual of worship that you're doing, not even because you, it's not like a duty per se, but you work it into a habit. So your Advent rituals become part of your worship for the season. And so even when you're feeling really tired and really worn down, it's become a habit. And so you are still able to continue that worship and that focus.
Yeah.
Even in the hard times.
It's a guide.
It is.
Basically. It leads you to that moment of worship. And yeah, because some people are like, oh, I don't want to do a liturgy. Like, I'm Jewish. I grew up a liturgy. And I like it. I like it. I'll be honest with you. I like liturgy. You know, I don't think we should do it as a ritual, like you're saying, like you just have to repeat the words because you know by heart and stuff. But I love just that guidance of the scriptures that we read, the prayers that we say, all of those things. I think it's really important. You know, it's like teaching us how to do something. I don't know.
It is. And, you know, like even on the days when I'm really tired and I start it just because I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing this day, by the middle, I'm like all in because I was just determined to keep going. And so, you know, it's that connection. And once you start, no matter how hard that first step is, it's really a gift of worship is really what our focusing during Advent is. Like writing the scripture every day, that's like a posture of humility. God, I am going to take this time and I'm going to do this study for you. And then with Advent, if you even just do like a short reading each Sunday and light a candle or skip the candles altogether.
Yeah, you don't even have to do the candles. I mean, the point is the scriptures. The candles.
Placeholders.
Well, it's interesting because, see, in Jewish culture, we use the candles to separate the mundane from the sacred. So, for example, Friday night when the Sabbath starts, we light up a candle. It's a memorial. So we do this. My kids know the moment that we light up the candles and we say the prayers, they know it's Shabbat. It's time to rest. No homeschool. Mom is not going to go on the computer. Now is the time to rest and we focus on the Lord, you know? So it's like a memorial. And I think that the Advent, it's the same way. It's a memorial, you know, we're getting close and it's kind of the Hanukkah, right? On Hanukkah when we light up the menorah. So we shouldn't call a menorah. That's the wrong word to use, actually. Just if you want to know, it's a Hanukkah. A menorah has less branches. So when you light up the lights and you're building up momentum, which is beautiful. If I have a study, I can send it to you, a video I did last year explaining. But as those candles are lit together, right? It's just like building up that bright expectation the Savior is coming or the Savior is returning. And it's so powerful. And it reminds us that we are the light of the world and together we're going to be a lot brighter than just on our own, right? It's a beautiful reminder.
Yes.
No, don't. No, don't. Penny is saying, Penny, I'm so happy to see you here, girl. I love you. She's saying, I was happy to learn about Jesse Tree and Advent. I'm too. Like, I'm always learning different things. And we like tradition, you know, we like tradition. Have you guys ever watched Fiddler on the Roof?
Oh.
It's like the core of Jewishness. You got to watch The Fiddler on the Roof. It's a musical. It's a very old musical, but it's the core of like Jewishness. I'm telling you, it's all about traditions. How like our people is all about traditions. I love traditions. All right. Emily's saying, I grew up Catholic and we practice Advent. Now I want to enjoy Advent as a family. I avoided it a long time because I'm no longer Catholic. I just made some beeswax candles for Advent. Oh, way to go, Emily. Penny's saying, I also love reading the scriptures that prophesy Jesus coming. And she loves Fiddler on the Roof. She's a woman after my own heart. If you want to get everybody excited in this house, like Friday night for Shabbat, it's like, let's watch Fiddler on the Roof. And we sing all the songs, every single one of them.
Oh, it's good. Music.
Oh, so good. So good. You guys, there's nothing wrong with traditions. What we need to focus is the motivation. Why are we doing it? Are we doing it to fulfill a duty, or we are doing because we honestly earn to be closer to the Lord and spend more time in His Word? And sometimes we're going to come up with our own traditions, right? You're not going to follow anything. You're not going to follow admin. You're not going to follow justice. You're not going to follow anything. You're just going to come up with your own thing. And it's all good to me. As long as, like, Jesus is the center of it all. Because He is. He is amazing. Lara, thank you so much for being here. Bianca's asking, is there specific verses for Advent?
Oh my gosh, if you Google that, you will find 12 or 15 different
varieties. Advent programs,
you can go through. One of the things that you could do is the chapter of Luke a day. There are, you can find free online Jesse trees that will take you through. You said your student was Form 1. If you use the Jesus Storybook Bible, they have a free Advent plan that they are doing right now. I really like how Sally Lloyd-Jones made it sort of like easy for the little ones to follow the thread.
Yeah.
We always combine that with like our actual Bibles. But that was just a really nice ribbon that she pointed out in each of the stories that she used. You can just go through like the prophecies.
Yes.
And honestly,
I have a post. I have a post, 27 messianic prophecies fulfilled in one day, even though that was fulfilled with Jesus on the cross, but it has 27 prophecies fulfilled in one day that you can go on the blog and you can read it. You can go through those prophecies. But just the prophecies of the coming of Messiah starts in Genesis, you guys. Like, there's just so much for you to learn. There's over 300 prophecies of pointing out to His coming. So there's just so much. Just Google some prophecies about the birth of Messiah and you will find a lot of great stuff. And Callan likes Fiddler on the Roof too. Yay, yay, yay. Guys, I love you so much. I'm so, so thankful, Lara, for everything that you have taught us today. I got my juices going. I'm already like planning what I'm going to do. But listen, if you don't want to plan your own thing, she has it ready for you. You know, to show her the money. She has it all ready. You go to the blog and you buy it, you print, you download it, you print it. And then every single day it tells you what to do. It has the resources. The other thing too, you don't have to do it everything. Emily said, yes, Lara did all the work for us. She did. You know, if you feel like I'm going to be overwhelmed with this, you can do half of it. Don't do everything.
Right.
But start someplace. Help your heart to focus on Jesus, because we need sometimes more than everybody else. And, you know, celebrate the season. Go out, serve Him. Tell it on the mountains. Tell what Jesus has done for you. Don't be shy about preaching the gospel. This is a season where people's hearts are soft. They need salvation. They need God's love. So we can be a light to this world. We can be salt to this earth. We can be Jesus' hands and feet. Because at the bottom line, you know, it's all about how we live for Him and how we shared Him with other people. And if you don't know how to say these, I have a blog post called This Christmas I Wish You Christ, and you can just share it. This one needs Jesus. Absolutely. Penny's saying that's a good point, that we don't have to do everything in any plan or curriculum or whatever. Sometimes less is more. That's my motto. Less is more. Do less, but do it better.
I do everything in the curriculum we write. I do it when we're making it, but we may not necessarily go back through it and do it all again.
And sometimes it's pick and choose what you want to do today. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. We have freedom. We have freedom in Christ, and we have freedom to do our homeschool the way we
do. No condemnation. I love you, Lara. Thank you guys so much. I love you. I pray for you. I praise God for you. Talk to you guys real soon. There's lots happening this month around the holiday, homeschooling. We're going to be having a friend of mine who's going to teach us how to paint Christmas cards. I'm so excited. Yeah, you can come and join us, Larry. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. And there's a lot more to come. Thank you so much. You guys have a great day. I'm off to the beach. Sorry. Bye.